Our second scripture lesson comes from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew and Simon Peter's brother was one of the two who heard what John had said, and one who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found a Messiah, that is the Christ." And so he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about the one whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We're going to stop there and say, God bless this reading of his holy word. There is an excitement about this particular passage, an excitement that you can see in the actions of Andrew, as I told the young people, who runs to get his brother, to make sure his brother doesn't miss meeting this important Messiah that they've been looking for generations and years and years. And he didn't want his brother to miss it. And all of this, as I told the young people, begins to look like a party gathering, doesn't it? Do you remember what it was like in high school? When someone would say, "Joey's mom and dad are going away for the weekend, party at Joey's house." I don't know how many of you took part in anything like that, but in my high school, it happened from time to time, and there was such excitement about it. We would all gather around, and it was always a good time. Unfortunately, sometimes houses, these things get out of control, and houses get wrecked, and parents get really upset. But this scripture lesson speaks of that same kind of excitement, that something's going on, and I want to be a part of it, and I want my best friends to be a part of it, and want my sister and my brother to come along and be a part of it. That's what's happening in the scripture lesson. It's something I think we've lost in the church somewhat, this sense of celebration, of a party. As I reminded the young people that this morning, the reason we gather on a Sunday is to celebrate the resurrection. Every Sunday is Resurrection Day. Every Sunday is Easter. We need to somehow recapture that. You know, some of the people who make it their job to poll the population about religion and how they feel about it, One of the great impressions that non-Christians have of a Christian church is that it is more about judgment than it is about grace. It's more about conformity than it is about appreciating differences. And one of the things that these pollsters recommend to the church is that the church move away from these practices or attitudes that would emphasize judgment or emphasize the conformity that people associate with the church, and focus more on the celebration. I like the story that the preacher Thomas Long tells a story, and I think this probably autobiographical, but he didn't say so. He was engaged to preach in a large city that he hadn't been to before, and as he went into the hotel, he was surprised to find a post on the elevator door, a little handwritten notice that said, "Party tonight, room 210, 8 p.m. Everyone's invited." Now, he could hardly picture who would throw such a party. Why? What reason would they throw a party in a hotel, of all places? But he imagined that at 8 o'clock, room 210 would be filled by an unlikely assortment of people. Sales representatives, maybe seeking a little relief from the tedium of the road. Maybe a vacationing couple who were tired of sightseeing, and it might be fun to get together with some strangers. Maybe a man stopping overnight in the middle of a long journey, looking for a bit of festivity. A few inquisitive and wary hotel employees might show up. And there's, they're maybe because of professional responsibility. But then also there's always those young people who slip out of their parents' room anxiously curious about what's actually happening in room 210. Would they show up at the door? Now, Long tells a story that there was a little excitement in the heart about this party that's happening, and maybe you should show up. But then the sign on the elevator came down. It was replaced by a typewritten statement from the hotel staff explaining that the original notice was a hoax, a practical joke. And of course, that made sense, but in a way, it was too bad. For a brief moment, those staying at that hotel were tantalized by the possibility that there just might be a party going on somewhere to which we were all invited. A party where it didn't make much difference who we were when we walked in the door or what motivated us to come. A party that we could come to out of boredom or loneliness or curiosity or responsibility, but an eagerness to be in fellowship with other people, or simply a desire to come and see what's happening. A party where it didn't matter nearly as much what got you to the door as to what would happen after you arrived. Now, I'd like to say that Thomas Long's story of the party was representative of the church. Indeed, we do have a wide variety of people in the church who go about their weekly business, laboring to make a living, pursuing various interests. And unfortunately, some of them, just like the general populace, are become bored and weary. Bored with the routine, weary of the stresses that life brings, wondering if this life of responsibility and endless stress is all there is. Hoping beyond hope that somewhere there's a party. Somewhere there's a place where spirits might be lifted, a place where you're welcome to be yourself, that you're accepted as yourself, that you are not judged, a place where unexpected joys might be discovered, burdens might be lifted, a place of fellowship where one might meet new and interesting people. You know, there are a lot of people out there today who are looking for a party. We rarely think of it that way, but Jesus has designed his church this way. Think about it. We celebrate the resurrection, the single most wondrous event in all the history of humanity, every Sunday. We gather from different walks of life. We celebrate good news, the best news that has ever come into the world. We sing joyful songs. We greet each other warmly. We give thanks for all the goodness that has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate and appreciate our neighbors, those who sit with us in the pews each Sunday. We pray for their needs. If they happen to be ill or have misfortune fall, we look after them as best we can. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, and Andrew was intrigued when John pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, Andrew had heard John speak Lamb of God before, and he knew the full phrase was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew easily related that image with the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, which was used to celebrate God's deliverance from Israel, of Israel from slavery, pardon me. Lamb of God in Andrew's mind conjured up images of a party. The annual party that the Jews celebrated when they remembered God's favor. In Egypt. From his childhood, Andrew celebrated the Passover. It was a party, and Andrew wanted in on that party, any party that included the Lamb of God. So he went to Jesus and he said, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus replied, "Come, follow me, and you will see." That is a statement that is as good today as it was back then. Come, follow me, and you'll see where I'm staying. Where is Jesus saying right now? Right this moment, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in heaven. "Come follow me and you will see," he says. Now think about the Jewish celebration, all the different celebrations that we are a part of and are part of the gospel story. I know that the Sunday school is studying the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the Pentecost event was the watershed of event where the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, and actually given to all believers, and Pentecost was a celebration. Pentecost was one of those Jewish gatherings to celebrate the harvest. We forget that every week and every church occasion is a celebration. So Andrew and his friend Finn spent the evening with Jesus. A little unknown tidbit from this scripture lesson, if you are studying this in your own Bible, was that it was about the 10th hour. That's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The 10th hour that Andrew confronted Jesus, and Jesus said, "Come on, come and see." And of course, Andrew said, "Okay, I'm going to run get Simon real fast." And he invited Simon to meet with Jesus. And Simon's life would never be the same. Can you imagine? They probably slept over wherever it was that Jesus was saying. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we don't know what time of year exactly it was, but, that's kind of late. In those days, you had to travel on foot anywhere you went, so it wasn't as if you could jump into your car and go across town very easily. It was a walk. So they probably spent the night. And they had what? They had a celebration with Jesus. Jesus gave Simon a new name, Peter. And Peter became a believer and a disciple. He became the foremost of the disciples, we know that. He joined the party and he found his life's purpose there. He found the meaning and purpose of the rest of his days at that party. He found joy and love in the fellowship with the Son of God. Now, none of that, take note, none of that could have occurred if Andrew had not taken a moment, thought about his brother, and ran to get him. Andrew gave Peter a gift, I mean, a gift of such massive import that it's hard to understand. But Andrew has also given us that same gift. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples, all of them, including us, a great commission to go into the nations and spread the good news, to make disciples and nurture them in the life of the church, the party which is the life of the church. Now, many of us have a hard time going to all the nations, but virtually none of us have a hard time going and finding a brother, a neighbor, a friend to invite to a party. Andrew showed us how it's done. He didn't spend a lot of time explaining. He simply made an invitation. He said, come, see the Messiah. Come to the party. That's evangelism. That's the key to all the difficulties of the church today, actually. The difficulties of our denomination. If we, the church, took this celebration seriously and made it a time of celebration, not of judgment and not of demeaning or in any of the other negative things that are associated, unfortunately, but just make it a party where you're accepted, where you're loved, where you become part of the group. Yes, in that sense, the church should be like going to a party. By showing the joy in our Lord, we attract others to join with us. If the church seems like fun, it's a joyful place to go, what do you think it'd be like? We'd have trouble keeping people from overflowing out the doors. Because people out there do suffer. Loneliness, boredom, over-responsibilities, eagerness to be in fellowship, or simply wanting to be in on something really fun and exciting. A party where it didn't matter nearly as much what got you in the door as to what would happen after you arrived. Reminds me of, again, when I'm commuting, I pass by several different churches, and one of the church's signs, late in the year last year, the church sign says, come as you are, you can change inside. I like that. So may God bless us with this exposition of his holy word, and join me in a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to this huge and wonderful party. Forgive us when it does become about judgment and about negativity, because you never intended that. You intended it to be about life and love, renewal and rebirth. Help us keep that focus and grant us your grace and peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.